In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, welcome to the late edition of IRIN in English News with me, Niwa Shitsos. Nobel Peace Laureate Mohamed El-Baradei was chosen on Saturday as Egypt's premier after bloodshed following the ouster of the country's first freely elected president, Mohamed Morsi. The Tamarud movement made the announcement after talks with Egypt's new interim leader. El-Baradei's appointment came as the Muslim Brotherhood staged a new show of force to demand the military restore Morsi after 37 people died and more than 1,400 others were injured in 24 hours of violence. Wearing green headbands, Morsi supporters in their thousands, including many fully veiled women, waved Egyptian flags and pictures of the deposed president. Morsi, who has been in detention since overnight on Wednesday, had issued a defiant call for his Brotherhood supporters to protect his elected legitimacy and a recorded speech aired hours after his removal. There were reports of shootings between soldiers and Morsi supporters outside the Republican Guard headquarters on Friday. The bloodletting continued on Saturday, with gunmen killing a Coptic Christian priest by dragging him from his car and riddling him with bullets in the rest of north of the Sinai Peninsula. The Iranian national men's volleyball team have achieved a superb win against Cuba as part of their heroic games in the 2013 FIVB World League in a five-set match in the Cuban capital city of Havana. Iranian sportsmen outclassed their opponents 3-2 in an extraordinary game early Saturday. The Iranian team started the match disappointingly as they lost the first and second sets. The Iranian squad, however, came back strong with far fewer mistakes to take the third and win the fourth and fifth. Iran and Cuba will face each other again in just a few more hours. Iran now has 9 points, standing fifth in Group B. In a meeting with new Brazilian ambassador to Tehran, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said independent governments and nations are tasked with establishing a just world order to help eliminate discrimination, insecurity and division. The president added Iran and Brazil are two friendly countries and their relations are deeply rooted and extensive. Ahmadinejad further said there is no obstacle to the expansion of bilateral ties and welcome the development of allied relations with the Latin American country. The new Brazilian ambassador submitted his credentials to President Ahmadinejad and stressed the need for the further enhancement of relations in different sectors. Meantime, Iran's president also met the newly appointed ambassador to Nepal to Iran. President Ahmadinejad said the Organization of Non-Aligned Movement, NAM, provides a roadmap for weathering crises and insecurities. Ahmadinejad said NAM provides a roadmap to achieve a justice-based and peaceful society. Describing ties between Iran and Nepal as deep and historic, President Ahmadinejad called for the expansion of bilateral relations between the two countries. For his part, the Nepali envoy said his country attaches great importance to bilateral cooperation and relations with Iran, referring to the success of the 16th summit of the NAM in Iran's capital city of Tehran. The Nepali official described as significant Iran's role in regional and international disputes, particularly in the NAM organization. Visiting Iranian Interior Ministry and the head of the Shanghai Public Security Bureau urged more cooperation to counter cybercrimes. Referring to a security cooperation deal inked between Iran and China 2 days ago, Mustafa Mohammad Najjar said, the deal urges both countries' police to share information and experience over countering cybercrimes, particularly in the area of trade. Bai Xiaokang, for his part, underlined the importance of campaign against organized and extraterritorial crimes. He said promoting economic ties between Iran and China on one hand and the growth of cybercrimes and trade sector on the other have urged the security bodies of both sides to closely cooperate with each other. Deputy head of Iranian Navy says the country is set to unveil another homemade submarine in the next few months. Rear Admiral Gholam Reza Khadem said Fateh submarine is currently under construction by the Iranian Defense Ministry. He noted that the new submarine will be delivered to the Navy in the coming months. Earlier, Iranian Navy commander had also informed of the country's plan for unveiling new developments in marine military equipment. Rear Admiral Sayari said, Fateh submarine, Kaman-class missile launcher warships, and Jamaran II destroyer will become operational in the current year. In recent years, Iran has made great achievements in its defense sector and attained self-sufficiency in producing essential military equipment and systems. At least six people have been killed in two bomb attacks north of the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. The incidents came on Saturday, only a day after dozens of people were killed in a string of attacks across the country. Some four people were killed after a roadside bomb exploded in the northern city of Kirkuk. Another bomb attack took place in Tikrit, killing a police officer and injuring two others. On Friday, some 30 people were killed and several others injured in a wave of violence. At least 160 people have been killed and more than 400 others injured in Iraq attacks since the beginning of July. Syrian army troops advanced in the militant-infested parts of the western city of Homs. The army soldiers took control of several buildings in the district of Khalidiya and inflicted heavy losses on the foreign-backed rebels in several parts of the strategic city, killing dozens of them. The Syrian army forces have also restored security in the industrial area of Kapun, near the capital Damascus, killing a number of militants. Army forces also seized dozens of Israeli-made rockets inside the militants' hideout during the mop-up operation. The Syrian army also conducted successful operations against the foreign-backed Takfiri militants over the past weeks. The army established control over the strategically important town of Qusair near the Lebanese border in early June. At least two people died and one more injured when U.S. forces carried out an airstrike in Afghanistan's eastern province of Paktia. The authorities identified the victims as security guards working for a private construction company. The U.S. military has not yet confirmed any casualties and made no comments on the airstrike. Civilian casualties have long been a source of friction between the Afghan government and U.S.-led forces and have dramatically increased anti-U.S. sentiments in the war-torn country. The United States and its allies invaded Afghanistan in October 2001 as part of Washington's so-called War on Terror. The offensive removed the Taliban from power, but insecurity continues to rise across the country despite the presence of thousands of U.S.-led troops. Meantime, the Pakistani government once again warned that Islamabad-Washington relations may be adversely affected if the U.S. assassination drone strikes continue in Pakistan. Pakistan's interior minister warned that the continued U.S. drone attacks might lead to a direct standoff between Washington and Islamabad. Elsewhere, Pakistan's Foreign Office spokesman also said, the use of drones by the U.S. is a major hindrance to the betterment of mutual ties between two countries. In the latest attack, the U.S. assassination drones on Wednesday fired four missiles at a house in Miranshah in North Waziristan, which killed 17 people and injured six others. The strike was the second drone strike on Pakistan after Nawaz Sharif was elected prime minister on June 5, 2013. In Brazil, police have clashed with anti-government protesters in Rio de Janeiro, who were calling for transparency in government spending and improvements in public services. The clash took place outside the home of Rio de Janeiro's governor when thousands of protesters were confronted by police firing tear gas at them. The protesters responded by throwing rocks at the police and burning garbage cans as the confrontations escalated and spread to nearby neighborhood. At least six protesters were arrested and several police officers injured during the clashes. Brazil has been hit by nationwide protests since June 17, when street rallies began initially over a rise in bus fares. The European Parliament says it will scrap agreements with the U.S. granting it access to European travel and financial data unless Washington reveals the extent of its electronic spying operations in Europe. European Parliament approved a non-binding resolution condemning Washington's spying on EU officials. Members of the Parliament called on the European Commission, the Council of Ministers, and EU member states to take into account all levers at their disposal in talks with the US. The European Parliament warned that it would put an end to its data-sharing deals with the US, the terrorist finance tracking program, and passenger name records if Washington fails to meet the European demand.
We need complete transparency and a maximum of information on both programs. Considering the context in which this conversation will take place, we count on the US full cooperation in disclosing and sharing all relevant information. Should we fail to demonstrate the benefits of the TFTP and of the PNR instruments for our citizens and the fact that they have been implemented in full compliance with the law, their credibility will be seriously affected. And in such a case, we will be obliged to reconsider if the conditions for their implementation are still met.
Meantime, Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega says his government would grant U.S. whistleblower Edward Snowden political asylum if circumstances permitted. Ortega made the remark after his government received an asylum application at its embassy in Moscow. Meanwhile, Venezuela and Bolivia commented on the same issue, saying they will also give humanitarian asylum to the U.S. whistleblower. Snowden, a former CIA employee, has been holed up in Moscow's Sheremetyevo airport since June 23, when he traveled from Hong Kong to avoid U.S. extradition. He has already sought asylum in 17 countries, including China, Brazil, Italy, Russia, and Spain. Employees of the municipality of Athens, including municipal police, demonstrated outside the Greek finance ministry. They protested against the government's plans to cut the number of civil servants. The protests were held for a second day in the Greek capital. On July 5, the municipal workers protested in front of the Administrative Reform Ministry in Athens. The demonstration was held after Greek officials reportedly approved that some 4,000 municipal officers be transferred to the police force. The job cuts are part of the conservative-led government's efforts to enable it to receive rescue loans, as Athens is in talks with a troika of the country's international lenders.
In just one night, without any regrets, 3,500 families were kicked out on the streets. We are talking about 3,500 workers who, if you multiply them with their family members, add up to 12,000 people in total. At this moment, what we are asking is for all the municipal workers to understand that these layoffs are not just for a specific group, but for all the workers, and that we must immediately scale up our fight.
Gaza residents say the closing of the Rafah crossing into Egypt has already made their lives harder. Egyptian security forces closed the crossing between Gaza and Egypt on Friday due to security concerns.
The crossing has been closed and the tunnels are shut down. There are no goods, no construction material, no fuel or gas. All this affects us, the simple people who live day in and day out in this city.
We are suffering. Every day we suffer more. Every day that passes, the country gets worse for the residents, taxi drivers, merchants, and the whole country.
And finally, bomb blasting in Yemen's capital Sana'a killed 3 soldiers and injured 2 others. Security service officials said the blast took place after the explosive device, which was planted close to a police checkpoint and north of the capital, went off as the soldiers opened the bag to check its contents. 2 soldiers were killed immediately by the blast, which also injured 2 others. One of the wounded lost his life later. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the attack. However, police have launched an investigation to find those behind the deadly assault.
There were four in the car that was targeted. Three of them are dead. One is still alive.
We heard a loud explosion. We came here and we saw the bodies lying on the floor.
Before wrapping up, you can surf the web and visit us at www.irinn.ir. That's the official website of our news network. This is one more time, www.irinn.ir. Have a great time. See you tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.